Live from the Ghost Hunter Store, brought to you by the Shadowlands, South Jersey Ghost Research, and the Ghost Hunter Store. Here's some paranormal straight talk with your hosts, Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Dave Giuliano with Marty Haynes.
Hey everybody.
And we have a special guest from SJGR, one of the assistant directors, Mandy McCall.
Hello.
So like I said that, Mandy McCall.
Yeah.
It's like a radio voice kind of thing. Now before it starts playing again, let me stop that. All right. We skipped that one issue we have
there
all the time.
Go. There we go.
So we're on track.
And we're connected.
We are connected.
Excellent. On time.
Yes. So I can go to the chat room, say, okay, people
can
are
people
there.
Hear us?
It looks like everything's going okay. All right. I kept the topic that I was thinking about last night to myself, to myself. I didn't mention it to anybody else, so it could be like a surprise. I thought we'd talk about...
No preparation here.
Yeah, right.
We're going to just go off the cuff.
It could be like, I guess, I was thinking like, what are the dangers of ghost hunting? Because that's one of the lectures I want to do when I start going out on the road next year with the store and talking. But I thought maybe, instead of phrasing it that way, is ghost hunting dangerous? That could be the title of the show. Is ghost hunting dangerous? So that's the premise.
And the quick answer is, sure.
Right. How many people realize it's dangerous? Because, you know, I've watched, like, people do stuff on TV.
Right.
You know, you got the guys that are welding stuff and... I'll use that as an example. You know, using the oxyacetylene torch, mm-hmm. and you know, one like there's different shows, Restoration or Monster Cars or Monster Trucks or whatever, or Monster Garage. That was the show. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes it look like it's nothing really. You know, one little drop of water in that mix, it's a bomb.
Yeah.
Because I used to use oxyacetylene, so on TV it doesn't look as dangerous as it really is. At how clean you have to keep everything, you only see part of it. The same thing on TV, you only see part of the preparation or part of what's actually going on.
Right.
And you don't see the afterwards.
Yeah, like some of the shows that go out there and do the really crazy stuff.
Yeah.
They're not giving you the before and the prayers and the,
right.
you know, what they do to set their space and stuff beforehand. Mm-hmm. And they don't tell you how they close things down.
Right.
And they just give you the centerpiece and then everybody goes out and does it and that's where the trouble begins.
Exactly. Because, I mean, when I was like an amateur, before I joined a group or even knew groups existed and I just went out with friends to like abandoned places, I remember I came into the store to buy stuff. And Marty was here. And one of the first things you said to me is, are you doing your psychic protection? And I was like thinking ahead, I have no idea what she's talking about, but I don't want to sound like I don't know anything. So I was like, yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely. But I had not a clue. Like I didn't have an idea what you were talking about. But like you said, like you don't see that part when you watch the shows. You just see them out there doing investigating.
Right.
You have no idea what they're doing to protect themselves.
No, they walk in with their equipment and kick it on and off they go. And...
Right.
Thrown out there, show me a sign of your presence. And, you know.
Well, it occurred to me that when I was sitting there thinking of this when I was driving home last night, is ghost hunting dangerous? I mean, that could be multiple shows depending on which aspect you come at it. What about the physical, just idiot proofing, you know, the field itself? I mean, the dangers that the stupid people are going to find themselves in.
It's the danger of the dead, but also of the living.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with a group that just started, and these people that they're going out on a case with, we've dealt with them, or I've talked to other groups that have dealt with these people, and the people are dangerous. They don't have anything going on except up in their heads, but they're dangerous and they're creating a problem.
Right.
So you know, it's not just
Go even more basic than that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, not to put Mandy on the spot, but it's not like she's the first one that's ever done it.
Right.
Going into the abandoned buildings.
Yeah.
Ultimately, if the building is like closed down, that means there's no safety features, no one present in the building most likely.
Mm-hmm.
No one's aware that you're in there. Obviously, if you're in there, then no alarms are going off. Should you get injured, no one's going to know that you were in there, because there's no one checking the abandoned buildings.
Right.
And depending on how long they've been abandoned, you know, floors you know, can break, you know, there's so many different things that can go wrong.
Trip and fall, and, you know, nobody's there.
You're in a, or worse, someone is there and they're with you, and they see you get hurt, and they don't want to get caught, so they leave.
Right.
Maybe they make a call, hey, someone's stuck in the building, you know, if you're lucky, if not. Mm-hmm. Same thing with cemeteries. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people go in cemeteries, and if they're going to go there during the day to check it out beforehand, in the daylight? Just a simple one that we were just at, the one that in Trenton, the what's it, Mercer?
Mercer, kind of historic.
Right. That's that's a cemetery SJGR has kind of adopted and we've been cleaning, but we've been out there during the day multiple times.
Right.
Had we not, many of us would have fallen in these huge holes that are there, and only because Mandy and other people that had been there during the day knew where the holes were and warned us beforehand, that's the only way we avoided it. Anyone else going out in there, because a couple people came pretty close, even knowing where the holes were.
Yeah.
So these are just common sense kind of ideas.
And with that, throwing the shows out there, the shows now are showing you people going off on their own. Well, obviously they're not on their own because they got a cameraman behind them. But they're showing people going off on their own to do things. Yeah.
That they're by
and
themselves.
So now these, you know, people that are going out into the cemeteries that don't know what they're doing, they're going to go off on their own to see if they can get some interaction. And you're right. They fall in a hole.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they left. Maybe they decided.
Well, that was something I used to show the trainees. Mm-hmm. I would disappear on them, and they wouldn't know what happened to me, and they'd radio the rest of the regular members, and they'd say, no, we haven't seen them either, and I'd watch to see how they react. Some of them would start like looking around for me, but I'd always be 10 feet away from them in the dark. But because the way the cemeteries are with no light and the shading and the tombstones, it's easy to blend in, being that close to people and not being able to be seen. And then after I expose myself and tell them, hey, this is where I've been this whole time. You guys didn't see me. Imagine if I was laying down.
Right.
You would have never found me.
No, when we were up the road here. I forget what training group it was.
And just let me...
Couple, but he disappeared, and they're all like, no, we haven't seen Dave. I'm like, okay, could you find him? Because if he's dead somewhere, we might want to drag him out of here and give him back to his wife.
And let me clarify that. I didn't mean expose myself in the cemetery. Let them know where I was hiding the whole time. Just so someone takes a little snippet of that out. Says, Dave Giuliano said he exposed himself in the cemetery. So I can see that happening. Right. No problem. So, but just common sense kind of things. Bringing your cell phone with you, bringing your ID with you. Because when the police come in, if they see you're doing stuff okay and professional, they're normally not going to bother you.
Right.
But sometimes there's cops that are going to be a little more questioned. Yeah. You don't have your ID with you or whatever, or, you know. Yeah, you're going to get arrested
because
you're an unknown person in a place you're not necessarily supposed to be.
Even when we had permission to be in a historic location.
Oh, yeah.
At that old
Stone
House.
Yeah.
And we had permission to be there, you know, and the cops showed up because why are there lights on? Why are there people around here?
Yeah, evidently nobody called them and let them know we were going to be there.
So, I mean, they're just common sense things that make ghost hunting innately dangerous for the stupid, I guess. I'm not being cruel in saying that. It's people that just aren't putting any thought into what they're doing.
They're
running out. And these are the guys that you see are, like, wrestling in their backyard on trampolines and, like, shooting each other at point-blank range with paintball guns and putting on YouTube.
They're driving as fast as they can into a brick wall.
Right. Yeah. Stuff like that. And filming it and putting it on YouTube and thinks it's funny, you know, that kind of stuff. Intentionally doing harm to themselves. It's like, this isn't... ghost hunting isn't like a version of Jackass. You know what I mean? Because, you know, if you've ever fallen anywhere in the dark, but imagine falling into a grave in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, it's 6 feet down. I have a cemetery across from my house. They only cover them with a couple boards because they're not anticipating people walking out there.
Right.
You know, if you're not paying attention, it's easy to walk across, and I don't know if those boards would hold my weight. If I step across that, I'm going to find that out when I either make it to the other side or if I'm 6 feet down. Or if it's a family vault, I could be going 8 to 10 feet down, you know, breaking my leg, being at the bottom of a grave in a cemetery. I mean, it's a whole bad situation, no matter how you look at it. Then you take on, like, all the other, like, stuff that you add to it, all the other dangers. I mean, just the list is, like, so huge of, because I was thinking, like, I remember when I first started watching Deadliest Catch, because that got listed as one of the world's deadliest jobs. It's supposed to be the most deadliest job, the crab fisherman.
Right.
And until you start watching it and seeing what they do, that's when you can really, I mean, I watched like 6 seasons of it, you know, you can really see then, okay, this is why it's so dangerous. I mean, you don't see a lot of people getting hurt every season, but it's when you get hurt, it's a critical wound or death.
Right.
not to saying that's a that's gonna death as an option here, but ghost hunting, given all the supernatural, natural, and then stupidity factors all thrown in, is a very dangerous,
right.
and for most people, hobby
yes.
to be into.
Right.
Yes.
There are a lot safer hobbies to do than ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And I think when people come in here, whether they're, I know Michelle has said that she's taken parents aside who are buying like kits like around Christmas time for their kids, like for their 8-year-olds or 10-year-olds. I have no problem with them learning how to use this stuff.
Right.
But we were just talking to someone yesterday that said they watched someone pull up to a cemetery that they were coming out of, and the mother stayed in the car, and like the kids, they were about 8 or 9 years old, ran out of the car and went into the cemetery, and then they were back in the cemetery, and then they came back out again, drove away, while the parents stayed in the car.
So they were kind of supervised.
Yeah, they were supervised from it. Unless if the mom was remote viewing into the cemetery, then I don't know, or they had like little cams on their hats or something like that. But that's just like that's silly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's again stupid.
Yeah.
But like Michelle took the time to pull a couple parents aside and say, hey, you realize this isn't something you necessarily want to play with. You want to.
Right.
Make sure you get a book, make sure you learn a couple things. If you're going to let your kids do it, you should learn about what they're doing too.
The first thing with kids is where you let them do it. In your house?
In your basement?
Probably not a really good idea.
Yeah.
Whether people realize it or not, spirits actually, the more you give them recognition, and this isn't, I know the people out there that are, you guys are like fans of the demonology stuff, you're going to say recognition, oh, it's got to be something bad. No, I'm talking about a normal spirit.
Yeah.
A normal human spirit who's minding its own business. Maybe it's trying to get your attention. It's knocked a few things over. It's moved something, hid your keys a couple times. Now, all of a sudden, you bring in some equipment, start asking questions to it. It thinks that now you're paying attention to me.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's going to do more and more. So you might have been kind of okay, maybe curious, but you maybe slept with the light on once or twice. When you heard the footsteps, mm-hmm. you weren't scared per se, but you were,
Aware.
Good word. Now you come in and you start bringing your recorder in, your EMF meter, start doing EVP sessions and question and answers. Now you're telling the spirit, come on, do more. I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And now it kicks it up a notch. Now it starts that you hear more footsteps, more noises and stuff, and now you're terrified. You did that to yourself.
Exactly.
That's the basically the dumbass factor.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't understand the nature of what you're dealing with. To begin with, you don't understand that actually, it's like the kid that you didn't really want to be friends with in high school, but you would say hi to be polite. Should you have stopped and talked to him and gave him more time of the day than 2 minutes? Then all of a sudden he was your best friend now, and he was following you everywhere, and now you couldn't get rid of this guy. That is the same kind of factor. It's the same situation. Only you could probably chase that kid away eventually with a ghost. It's a little harder because they probably were there before you.
Right.
So now you're calling a group in. I mean, when we sell people stuff here, if we can't talk them out of doing their own house, we give them our card and saying, you will be calling us.
You will be
calling. And you'd be surprised that it's over 50% of the people that wind up calling us eventually because they've made it more active than they thought,
mm-hmm.
and they thought they could handle it and they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you've got to understand that is a possible consequence of your actions.
Or they'll buy the equipment, and then they'll buy smudging equipment, and say, "Well, I'll just do this and quiet it down because that's what they do on TV."
Right.
No.
Yes, smudging works.
It does
to get rid of negative energy, but or unwanted energy, things like that.
Kind of clean out the energy.
It does. It's like sweeping or vacuuming.
Right.
It's literally like sweeping and vacuuming. So everyone, think of that for a second. And I'm sure anyone who's used a vacuum or used a broom before has done it more than once in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why was it necessary to sweep or vacuum in that room again? Because it got more dirt on the floor, more cluttered, more dust, debris. The same thing happens on the spiritual and spirit level. Smudging just cleanses. It doesn't fix.
Right.
The stuff, if it's there in the area, it can come back in eventually, and then you have to cleanse again. We do a cleansing ritual here, and most of us do it in our houses on a regular basis, like we vacuum and sweep in our houses on a regular basis.
Right.
Consider it like paranormal or supernatural dusting.
Yeah.
House
cleansing.
Yeah, that's why they call it house cleansing.
Yeah, no.
It's like house cleansing, mm-hmm. house cleaning.
It's
see how similar that they are? It's very close to the same thing. So just one's on a spiritual level, one's not. You have to think about that. Before you get involved really in anything, you should really need to think of the consequences that you're doing. That's why even when we've been doing this a long time, we handled, last year, South Jersey Ghost Research handled, contact in some way dealt with 250 clients.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, you know, I was just going to tell you that something that I always think about as a concern, it's always in the back of my head, is because we are dealing with clients. We're dealing with people. And so when we go out to do, like, our prelims, the houses or something, normally it's just me and a partner. Well, I don't really know what I'm walking into. I don't really know who these people are.
No.
You know, I'm going into their house. I mean, essentially, I'm kind of offering myself up. Hey!
Well, see, that's one of the reasons why we do the prelim.
Right.
Simply because we're going during the day, we're going with all the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go alone.
We don't go alone, but we're getting to talk to the people, meet them, look around the house with the lights on. It's a very short, quick visit to go over the questionnaire and to find out more information. But it's also to see what we're going into before we bring a whole team in the dark and
mm-hmm.
at night to do this, because that's called being safe.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there and you're a little weirded out, like by the shotguns are just laying around the house, or the handguns are on, you know, sitting loaded on the nightstand, and they have kids running all around the house. Maybe that's a case that you don't want to take, because if they're that careless with just common sense things,
right,
then, you know, I don't trust them. If there's no trust factor there, I don't want to be in their house in the dark where they may not know where I am, but I'm not going to know where they are either.
Right.
You know, call me superstitious. People are people.
Yeah.
Weird, bad things happen. I don't even, unless I know the people. I mean, back in the early days, people would feed us after an investigation. They put a whole spread out.
No, yeah, yeah.
We would chow down. We'd have a great time. I don't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even take a bottle of water from people because I know there's hypodermic needles. It's like, I don't want to wind up, you know, chained up in someone's basement. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
You know, most people are probably just trying to be nice and be like, oh, you know, would you like a nice tea? We just made some, you know, muffins.
We just made some Kool-Aid. You want some?
Yeah. The higher percentage is being nice. But,
right,
you know, even if it's
just the percent.
That one, you know. Yeah.
Right. It's the same thing you consider. These are people, they're strangers. You've just met them pretty much maybe for an hour beforehand. Are you willing to just take anything they give you at face value and put it into your body? Here's an aspirin. I know it doesn't look like an aspirin. You know.
I know it's a bottle of water. It's a little cloudy, but it's just because of the way our water comes out of the spigot.
So, it sounds like overkill, but it's little things that, like, I think groups that are younger haven't been around as long. They're so anxious to go out and do an investigation. The moment they get the phone call, they hang up the phone. They're calling everybody. They're in the car with the equipment going over to investigate.
Right.
It's like, whose house are you investigating?
Right.
What is going on there? You know nothing. These are, we spent 20 minutes now just talking about physical, real dangers that most don't even cross people's minds. We haven't talked about anything spiritual.
Right.
We haven't talked about demons, you know, the devil, or its possession, anything that people would, when they think about the dangers of ghost hunting, they're going to line up and pack the room for that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not going to be expecting us to talk about falling in holes and getting poisoned by clients. But these are real things that you have to factor in. You have to be as cautious as you are in everyday life, because there's bad people out there. And they know that people are in groups are going to come out. And we're a perfect group of people to take advantage of.
They know exactly how to get us out there and how to get us in the house to talk to them.
Right. It's the equivalent of, you know, a guy pulling up to a kid. Hey, kid, I got some candy. Get in my car. No, hey, I got a ghost in my house. Come on out. And as adults, we wouldn't go help the guy find his puppy. When he's, get in my car, come on, my puppy's lost. But when they say we got a ghost in their house, we're driving 2 hours to go in the stranger's house. And then we're going to shut all the lights out. And be real quiet, and, you know. It's like, come on. Think of how, when you put it in those terms, it sounds ridiculous. But you have to be cautious. That's why we have things set up with team leaders, and we're spread out in teams, so there's teams on every floor. There's not just a strategic plan to cover everything. It's so we're not all lumped in one spot in easy targets. You're going to have to take out three different teams of us at different times, and hopefully one person, maybe the floater, like team leader, is going to notice in enough time.
Yeah. One widespread, you know, shot from a shotgun will take us all out of line.
It's the other reason why, personally, I put the we have plenty of motion sensors. Mm-hmm. Not only do motion sensors go off all the time on the top of steps, because spirits like moving up the step downstairs. I mean, I can count probably with thousands and thousands of times in all the time I've been doing this that I put a motion sensor up at the top of the steps and it's going off and there's been no one anywhere near the staircase. But I also can count, you know, at least five or six times that it's caught a client coming up the stairs when there is no reason to come up. The bathroom or whatever's downstairs, the kitchen was downstairs. They had no real reason for coming up the stairs. They didn't realize that I had the motion sensor set up there. If that person intended to do something or was even spying on us or whatever they, you know, if they intended any bad thing, they couldn't do it now. Right. So it's just, it's a little way of protecting my back, you know, that's easy to do. And it's call me paranoid, but the paranoia is what kept our species alive. for years, and I'd rather be more paranoid than alive. That's just bad things happen. You know, then we can go down to the other stuff. Maybe you should read about what kind of spirits you're going to encounter.
That's a good start. I mean, what anybody who goes out there and we both teach classes, and the first thing we teach is they need psychic protection. And people go, like you said,
right?
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah,
you know, you're dealing with energies that you can't see, touch, or feel sneaking up on you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have something going on.
Right.
Now, most people out there listening probably don't realize that when people are asked, "Can spirits follow you home, or can you take something home with you?" You know, is it a possibility? Of course it is.
Sure.
You know, that's no one can rule out. There's no, we're dealing with the unknown. This is all theory and stuff. No one can tell you 100%, yes, you will not be followed home. I can guarantee it. No one can guarantee that.
No.
So every time you go somewhere, you're risking that. So shouldn't you know the nature of what could possibly follow you home? When I do my Ghost Hunting 101 class, the people are kind of shocked because they see the, like, first of all, they see the devil with the horns, and they're like, they giggle and everything. Oh, look at that. We know what that is. And it's like, and really, they don't yet.
No.
But then they see the angel. Then they see, like, the human thing, and then they see the mind, it's like the thoughts,
mm-hmm.
which is the thought forms.
Right.
They don't consider, they're thinking, when people think of this, they think about, oh, I don't want anything bad following me home. Well, do you want anything good, you know, I'm doing the air quotes here, good following you home either? Do you want these people are calling you because something's hiding their keys, it's slamming their doors, it's jiggling their doorknobs at night, so they can't sleep. Okay, you got nothing going on in your house right now. Do you want that in your house? Do you want to have to search for your keys every morning? Do you want to be woken up in the middle of the night by your door handle jiggling? Probably not. It's great when it happens at someone else's house, but not at yours. Now, granted, it's not like, you know, blockbuster movie kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's not dangerous. But
it's disrupting your life now.
It's very annoying, yeah.
So should you know enough to protect or try to prevent that from happening? Of course you should. It should be common sense. But it is not common sense. And it's not done by probably 80% of the people out there in the field doing this. Because when we do the trainings, we go through a 3-month training program. Our people are what? We got a training class right now. They're probably 2 months into it, right?
Right.
They haven't had psychic protection yet. And that is because we used to do it as the very first class when we first initiated it probably about 8 years ago. We stopped when we saw people's eyes glass over, people rolling eyes. Or 6 months after they're done training, we found out that something happens to them on a case, and we find out that they weren't practicing any kind of techniques at all because they didn't buy into it.
Right.
So what we do now is we make it one of the last classes they deal with.
They appreciate
it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the appreciation, because hopefully by then they've gotten a little shaken up by some energy they felt or gotten spooked or scared enough that they'll appreciate the tools that we're giving them now.
For the most part, this class should have a true appreciation for it. They've already had a couple
different
scary little things happen.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the, you know, yes, it is. Some people look at it as, well, you're putting them in danger. It's like, No, we're putting them in the danger that if they joined any other group,
right.
they would have been in anyway. Or if they would have gone out on their own, they would have been in anyway. Only we're going to now give them the tools.
Or if they don't listen to it, when you give it to them at first, they're putting themselves in danger
right.
anyway.
Right.
So
it's not something cruel that we're doing. No. We're actually then going to give them the tools they're now going to appreciate the next time they have a situation similar, and they're going to have an understanding on how and why to use them.
Right, and we walk around being aware of the fact that they're not protected yet, and so that we keep an eye on what's going on.
Right, we don't take them into just any place we've never been before, a new place for us. We take them to places that we know what's there, what spirits are there, what we can expect.
And that's not to say that you can protect someone else.
Right.
But you can be aware of their being affected so that you can remove them from the place.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and heroes out there, I'm talking to you, all you heroes. Me, I was a former hero.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Me and Marty are recovering heroes. You can't protect other people. If you protect other people, you are not protecting yourself as 100% fully as you could, and you now made yourself the most likely target. Trust me, I've had an exorcism performed. I've only had two exorcisms performed on me.
I've only had two.
That's right. That's right. Okay. It's a contest. Mandy hasn't had any
all
yet.
All strong as zero.
Keep with that, okay? Yeah.
But my second one was because I decided that I was going to be the hero and protect somebody else and try to use psychic protection to protect them when they should have been doing it themselves or to bolster theirs. And I didn't realize, although it should have been common sense and knowing how everything, and this isn't something ancient history. This is only going back maybe like 5 years, right?
Right.
Four or 5 years.
Yeah,
so I had been doing it over 20 years at the time. That's after 20 years of knowledge, I was still stupid enough to do it because I thought I was helping somebody. Yeah. And I put myself in harm's way and paid the price for it.
And wasn't that almost sort of like a similar
situation? That's, yeah. I've had two, but they were related. I mean, it was just because one didn't finish it.
But
yes, it's exactly what I did. I stepped up in front of someone to protect them, and I got the brunt of it. Yeah.
It's literally, I mean, well, I can't say literally because it's not literally, but I'm reminded of the scene from the first Exorcist, although that's like obviously worst case scenario, but it's a similar thing where the priest is telling them, you know, jump into me. That came from a real case, the Arne Johnson case that the Warrens dealt with. Look it up online, Arne Johnson. Ed and Lorraine Warren. You'll read the story. It's actually one of their books, but I'm not sure. I think it's The Devil in Connecticut.
Yes.
So look up Devil in Connecticut. Great book, but true story. That's how the second person got infected, got possessed, because it was bothering a little boy, and this guy was involved in trying to get the boy exercised and said, take me, stop picking on this kid, and take me instead. You know, basically, pick on me, someone your own size. Trust me, none of us are their size. None of us can handle that. To mention something Marty was saying about, it was like with her, it was the second time or whatever. Most these things, even like, it's like a cleansing too. Mm-hmm. When you watch the TV shows, like you watch Emily Rose, you saw them do like one like exorcism in the barn and stuff like that. That was like 30 exorcisms down the road.
Right.
John Paul II did like 30 on one lady at the Vatican itself, and it still didn't take at that point. These things that need to be done over and over again. They're not like one shot, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, you're done, you're cured. Anybody who does deliverance, too, know that they might have to go back for more and more. Because if something's really entrenched and ingrained, and we've given it permission to be there, which normally is the case, whether we realize it or not, we need to undo what we've done, and we also need to fill in when that gap now is created, when it's removed. We need to fill that in with something. If we leave it empty, we're just saying, hey, come on, fill it back in again with the same thing.
Right.
So it's multiple things. It's no shame on anybody that needed more than one, because most people are going to need more than one. You know, that's just the way they work. They're not one-shot deals. If you get a one-shot and everything's fine, then that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. But be prepared for more. And same thing when you're doing the house cleansings or the house blessings. I know there's groups out there that's their motive. I know the people have to keep up with the stuff, but make sure the people realize when you're doing the cleansing, they need to know that this is just a temporary fix.
Yes, it's a Band-Aid over it, and if they don't follow through and you don't give them the tools to follow through, then you're going to be back out there in a month or 6 months.
Right.
Or
they need to be shown how to do cleansing, but that's still not the fix. you cleansing and then telling them to cleanse regularly is still not fixing the problem of where the dirt and debris is coming from. That needs to be addressed still. Otherwise, you're just giving them a box of Band-Aids
mm-hmm.
to put over top of it every time it stirs up. Why not try to find the cause? And if they can help, if you can help them identify the cause of it, then they won't have to cleanse as much. And then you're solving the real problem, not just giving them some, you know, like Band-Aids, basically.
Right.
Instead of giving them, give them medicine to help cure the problem instead of just giving them Band-Aids for the wounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's stuff that, again, the deeper you go into it, you're going to learn. I mean, we learn by doing it the smudging way, too.
Yeah, but you, and you learn that way, but you still have groups out there that, you know, they go in and they, oh, we can remove the spirits and so you'll all be all better. Well, that's obviously not a fix either, because spirits have free will, so you can't remove them if they don't choose to go. So you have to educate the client that you're dealing with. You have to educate them.
And how does smudging and house blessings manage to fit into the show about how what the dangers of ghost hunting? Because sometimes it can piss the spirits off.
Yes.
It can make it worse. Don't go into smudging it or a house blessing is not the answer for every case.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it is literally pouring gasoline on a spark, and now you just created a fire instead of putting a Band-Aid on a wound.
Yeah.
You need to be prepared for that, too. I've seen it happen with other groups where they've gone in, they've done the smudging, things have gone very bad while they were there, and they bailed out, and then all of a sudden the people call us, and we had another group out, and they were doing something, and then they just left, and I can't get a hold of them, they don't answer our emails anymore, they don't take our phone calls, it's, yeah, because something scared the crap out of them while they were in there doing whatever they were
right.
doing.
Yeah, and that poor client now has, besides the fact that they had a little bit of fear,
right,
now they
right.
had major fear,
mm-hmm.
which is just feeding into everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Because they see, no matter who comes out, they see us as the experts,
right.
which there aren't any. But there's experience levels, yes. But, I mean, there's no experts. But they're seeing us as the experts to come out and fix the problem.
Right.
You know, if you call an exterminator out, you're expecting to find no more bugs.
Right.
You're assuming that guy is an expert in what he's doing. And he may not be. He may be his first job out, you know. you know, and he misses all the areas where the bugs actually would be. And, you know, he's spraying everything else, your furniture and whatever else. I mean, you don't know that. You have no way of judging experts, whatever. That's why I always tell people, look for references. I mean, our group will give references. You can look at our website, see how long we've been around. There's for people just starting out, there's ways that you learn, and there's a way you have to work your way up to where you have those references, and you do that. You don't skip straight to the top.
Yeah, you don't go right in the houses.
And it's not us being greedy because we want to keep all the houses. Last time I checked,
we don't get paid for this.
All right, we don't get paid. We're not on a quota.
We're not making money.
And no one has stopped dying yet.
No.
So, as long as there's death, there's going to be ghosts and spirits. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be more and more haunted houses that we're not going to run out of the supply.
Right.
So it's a never-ending kind of, your job security is guaranteed.
Well, that and the more that they have the stuff on TV, the more people are going to say, oh, I got ghosts, I want you out here. So, you know, we get overwhelmed.
Right.
So,
yeah, there's no way. If we handled 250 cases last year. If we had to investigate all 250, there's no way we could have physically done it. It would have been totally impossible. I mean, we already do.
And they're
again
putting ourselves in danger from being overworked
right.
and not paying attention to what we're doing.
Because we're doing too much.
Right.
You know, you can get burnt out. And when you get burnt out,
you don't focus, you don't pay attention, and you let the little things go, and the little things are what can harm you the most.
Yeah.
Another good example of the danger of ghost hunting. You had a real bad, long week at work, bad day. Should you be going out on a case that night? Probably not, because the law of attraction, like attracts like. So if you're in a depressed, negative kind of mood, something depressed and negative is going to be attracted to you. And that's not the kind of spirits or energy you want attracted to you,
right.
especially if you're not up to par with your psychic protection. And even if you do practice psychic protection, you're probably not practicing it at a level that's going to be effective if you're that run down.
Right.
Take the night off. There's going to be other investigations. I've skipped some very cool places because I knew I wasn't.
Right.
I still kick myself in the ass for not going to Fort Delaware. I didn't go to an Air Force base down in Dover, but I won't mention which one. But these are cases I wish I would have went on, but I knew myself I was not in the right frame of mind to go on these cases. And these were one-shot deals I'll never get to go back. I'm still okay with that because I knew that I'd be more of a liability and danger to myself and the others of drawing negativity towards the team.
Well, equally as important is if you've been have been out to a place and you know that you it bothers you, the energy
right.
does not work well with you, don't go back just because you got evidence. If it wasn't
right.
good the first time, it's not going to be good for you the second time.
Suck it up and go back.
Yeah.
We can always pull you out of the basement again.
True. and you know, that actually goes the other way, too. If there's a place that you're really comfortable at, and you've investigated it 10 times,
sure.
and then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, you know, I don't need, you know, I've
I don't
been
need
here
to protect
10
myself.
Times.
I know who's here.
Right, I always feel fine here.
Sure.
So, you know,
sure.
I
right.
don't, you know.
Your defenses are down.
Right.
Because you feel too comfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's never a time to let your defenses down in this.
And you don't get the same spirits all the time. There are so many transient spirits in the world that you don't. It may be the same 10 that were there before, and you
yeah.
can talk to them. But what if one walks in that's
yeah.
you know in a bad mood?
Yeah. mm-hmm.
That's yeah. You know,
you get his wrath.
Another danger of ghost hunting. Spirits have the same personalities they had in life. So you're going to have the jerk. You're going to have the. Yeah, I'm trying to keep the language as clean as possible, but you can imagine, you know, you're going to have the people, the undesirables
yeah.
among spirits. Do you really want to catch their attention and piss one of them off and have them mess with you in your car on the way home or even on the investigation itself? You know, someone starts messing with you there and you're in a client's house. You really can't, like, you know, lose your cool there because that means those clients are screwed now because they saw the experts. It's like the exterminator
yeah.
running screaming out of your house.
Well, it's
you know?
Like, where were you guys? Red Bank Battlefield?
Mm-hmm.
And we brought a gentleman in the group who is British out
yes.
on the battlefield.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, as Americans, we're not real happy with that. So neither are the spirits. And he didn't
right.
have a – he didn't – he had some –
he
fun
had
fun
yeah.
stuff.
See, now he's someone that's kind of knowledgeable about the spirit world. He'd been a member of the spiritual church before
right.
over in England. So he wasn't a newbie to the field.
Right.
Okay, but he never put two and two together going out to that fort because the fort was a Revolutionary War fort.
Yeah.
There were battles. We were actually, when this happened, he was out actually
yeah.
in the fort, what
right.
was left of the fort itself, and in the trenches outside
yeah.
with his British accent.
Right.
Of course he was going to be feeling negativity.
Yeah.
And everything that they described, some of the people were very concerned about, like the way they felt surrounded,
mm-hmm.
they felt like stuff was coming at them. It's like, well, no kidding. It's a Brit. They were saying, you know, it was the British are coming again, you know. There's a statue to the guy that actually ran the same route Paul Revere did that night, saying the British are coming. He started at Red Bank, you know, Battlefield at Mercer, Port Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, duh, a British accent, that would should have been something that would have, if I was somebody British, would have came into my mind. It's something that I considered when we went to Fort Ticonderoga,
mm-hmm.
because everybody was an enemy at one time because
right.
everybody held the fort.
Right.
So I was prepared for no matter where we are, if we were in the battlefield or we were in the fort, at one point Americans were enemies because it was a British held fort, it was a
right.
French held fort, it was an American held fort. The Indians were in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So. There was no way, so I was prepared. And when we were out in the battlefield, there was a couple times where we actually wound up ducking down a couple times below into the trenches
right, right.
because we felt like our heads were vulnerable, like really like we were someone was going to be about to take a shot at us with an arrow or a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real physical feeling, and that wasn't from friendlies, you know. That was from an enemy. So little things like that, just to consider. All that now granted, he wasn't alone. He had other
right.
people around him
right.
who knew how to handle it. Afterwards, and talking to him, debriefing him, he knew how to handle it. Then once it was explained, that oops, now it makes sense to me. But like, if you're not prepared or you don't understand what you're dealing with, which unfortunately is a lot of the people, that line of thought is well beyond the level of experience they're at, only because they're holding themselves back.
Right.
They won't read books. Sure, you can surf the internet, but there's books out there, too, that go in a lot more in depth. There's so many books. There's thousands of books on psychic protection. Judy Hall's Psychic Protection, to me, is one of the easiest ones to read.
Yes.
And even if you don't like this kind of stuff, if you're going to be in the field of dealing with the supernatural and the spirits, it's you can't separate spirits from the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have some sort of protection, whether it's crystals,
right.
religious stuff.
There's all different
you know, things.
Types of ways you can
visualization.
You pick something that you
right.
are the most
comfortable with. Right. And go with it.
And it only takes a couple
oh,
minutes.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that long.
Right.
And it doesn't hurt anything.
No.
It doesn't stop you from
and
seeing
you
or hearing or getting the evidence
yeah.
you're going to get. It doesn't stop any of that.
No.
So what's the harm in it?
Right. And you just kind of work it into your routine. Just, you know, an extra, you know, few minutes or whatever just before you walk out the door with your, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's just your
yep.
normal routine.
I drive down the road and start putting my armor on,
yeah.
you know? I mean, it's just habit anyway.
And if it doesn't work and it's all just bull, then, hey, then that's all it is.
Right.
But if it works,
yep.
then it works. Right, you didn't hurt anything by doing it.
Right.
That's how I started when I started using the crystals. At first, I'm like, okay, I put a couple stones in my pocket. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If it's psychosomatic, great. You know,
yep.
it doesn't really matter. And it was working for me, and I never questioned it from that point
mm-hmm.
because it worked.
Yeah, it doesn't matter why it works.
Right, as long as it works.
Exactly.
So it's going to be something as simple as that, and you'll see people that just won't want to do it simply because...
Well, it's admitting that they're afraid.
Right.
They protect themselves because they're
right.
admitting they're afraid, and it has nothing to do with fear.
Right.
I never understood, going back to like when I was on the police department, there was guys that didn't wear their bulletproof vest. There's still guys that don't wear their bulletproof vest. Why? You are a target. You have a gun. You're going to be dealing with criminals who have guns. At any time, you're driving around in a marked car in a uniform. Anybody could take a shot at you at any time. Why wouldn't you wear as much protection as you're afforded?
Yeah.
Why don't... I never got the mentality of the people who would not wear the vest.
It's that ego side, the human
yeah.
side that says
right.
it can't happen.
Right. And it's not going to be me. It's going to be
mm-hmm.
everybody else
right.
but me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we find out the hard way.
Yeah.
So with ghost hunting, there are dangers that you can put on your bulletproof vest
right.
to protect yourself from. Why not do it? And then, you know, go down to the more, the negative side of it. I had heard a barroom conversation. And I don't know. I don't watch all the TV shows, so I don't stay up to date. But I had heard that one of the most popular shows out there was doing a bloodletting ceremony too, where they cut themselves and was doing the bleeding.
Yes.
Exactly like the other show that got canceled right after they did it
yes.
years ago. And my question to them was like, what the?
Get
a WTF?
Yes.
Really. Really? Was that a good idea? Because I know some of the other people in the cast who were talking at the bar
were very opposed to it.
Were extremely upset and were doing the WTF right off the camera
yes.
going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
There are just some lines you don't cross. It's stupidity. For ratings, it's not worth it. But people see that now and they're going to mimic that.
Yeah.
That's what made it most dangerous. And that's why the other show got cut off, because the channel was on was worried about the repercussions of anybody
and
suing them for seeing stuff.
Show, like on TV or
anything? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very popular show.
Huh. Yeah, see, I don't know. Ah.
Yeah, that whisper got picked up by the microphone. I haven't seen the episode yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did.
It was
last season. And
okay.
And you could see the look on the people's faces on camera
okay.
when it was happening.
I heard a conversation, like I said, it was at a bar, a paranormal gathering, and it was a very angry, these people, because the other people that weren't involved were felt like now they were put in harm's way because of it.
Yeah.
And they were.
They were. I mean,
exactly.
You've been in a place where somebody said, you know, throw something
right.
at me, and you, what did you do? I mean, you.
Well, hold
on. You chickened out.
Lori, I'm sorry about that. I didn't even know you read my... She texted me that night. The most recent newsletter about the trigger props
uh-huh.
for the store,
yeah.
the Yes No Box. I told the story I tell at training about us being
on Facebook too.
It goes everywhere.
Yeah.
So I didn't think about that. But Lori texted me that night because it was her group that we were out with, and she goes, "That was my group, wasn't it?" At Radley Run. I'm like, "Yeah." It's like, that's a good memory. Because it was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. And I know I've just put it out to like thousands of people across the world. I'm like, well, I didn't say what group it is. So only
until me. Now.
Right.
So it's just making matters worse now, right? But it's like, no, now I'm apologizing for like saying. But it was a good example
yeah.
of like saying, throw a stone at us if you're
yeah,
if you're there. So that girl, there was nothing wrong with that. That right. was getting the spirit to communicate. Well, I don't want anything throwing a stone at me. I don't want anything throwing anything at me.
Right.
Mary just threw a flashlight
at
Chris Mancuso from Scared as he's walking out of here. It's like, so I mean, like, at least it's a plastic flashlight. It wouldn't hurt him that much. Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't want, I really, I become uncomfortable when spirits start throwing stuff at me.
Yeah.
You know, so asking it to throw at me, that's why with the trigger props, I think that's great. Because I just ask them to touch around the trigger prop and touch the item. I don't ask them, like, I had to, someone was asking me, well, I think it might have been Gina when I, at the cemetery, when I had it hooked up to the knife.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing of metal that I had. I had my pocket knife. She goes, well, aren't you afraid? I'm just like, well, I'm not asking the spirit to pick up the knife or, like, stab somebody
throw
with a knife,
head,
right,
yeah.
or throw the knife at me.
Just touch it.
I'm saying, like, you don't even have to touch it. Or you just go around the knife and break the field just like this. So I'm not, I mean, it's all in wording and how you use it, basically.
Exactly. Well, make a sound.
Yeah,
I don't know how many times we've had people when we do investigations.
that's one of my favorites.
Sound. And I say, if you hit the wall, is that going to make a sound? And they're like, yeah. And I said, in the sound that comes out of you, that's a sound, right? Yeah. Okay. So do you really want them to make a sound? Oh.
Oh.
No.
Right. Or I usually change it around. It's like, no, to the person next to them. So you ask them to make a sound. And then it pushes the other person or grabs their hair, pokes them in the eye, and they say, ow.
And they yell, yeah.
And so now you got your sound, but this person's really pissed off at you. And since they're going to be they carpooled with you, you're going to see them at next investigation or at the next meeting.
Uh-huh.
It's like you just made yourself a nice friend here because they got poked in the eye because you said make a sound. Uh-huh. Like, common sense can avoid a lot of the dangers in ghost hunting.
Yes.
Just think before you speak. EVPs is one of the most dangerous things we do. Even with the trigger boxes, I mean, the most recent one has the yes/no on it.
Mm-hmm.
People, I mean, so does the Ouija board.
Right.
Using the trigger props, or the E-pods or the REM pods to get questions, the yes/no questions. We're communicating with a spirit that can manifest and manipulate energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if you can't see them doing it.
All right, you can't see it doing it, which means you can't see it coming either.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Be careful of what you ask and how you ask it. You want to be respectful. I mean, I think Gary Galka, who invented all those things, when he was inventing the RT-EVP, he had told me that he had his prototype, and he was at a fort somewhere, but he was in the casemates, kind of like Fort Mifflin, where they kept the prisoners and everything. And he when he was asking questions, like something along the lines of wanting a drink of alcohol or referencing alcohol in some way, and the RT-EVP like flew off the table and smashed on the ground. Well, this was this, like, you know, thousands of dollars prototype that got smashed on the floor. Because he wasn't thinking that could have possibly, afterwards, when people went through everything, then he realized that was actually provoking in a way. Because
mm-hmm.
if he's talking to prisoners, yeah, they were probably dying for it, literally, dying for a drink. Dips, you know. But.
Comedy.
Exactly. But. Mandy. Okay, for a Mandy story. Mandy and her camera at the Masonic Hall. Where she walked through the pillars in the ceremony room.
And right now, well, this is going to go back to earlier because I was a trainee when this happened. I was not taking psychic protection seriously at all. But even if I was, I still provoked unknowingly because we were in the Masonic Hall where females weren't allowed. And here I am, a female, which was already something.
Walking through the pillars.
Right. But then I decided to, you know, I was going to knock on the door and walk through the pillars and walk over to the altar. And, well, I said, I'm a Freemason now. And instantaneously, my camera that I had in front of me, my digital camera, just, like, busted. Like, it was almost as if, like, from the inside out. Like, my screen got cracked, like, all the way down, like, on the lightning bolt on the screen. But it wasn't cracked, like, where you could actually feel it on
right,
the screen.
Right, right.
It was like something actually came through my camera and broke it from the inside.
Lesson learned.
Yes, lesson learned. But, I mean, I wasn't doing it on purpose.
No,
I wasn't
and the people,
to be...
the spirits in the room were probably not negative spirits.
Right.
They were positive spirits.
Yeah, but
but
I was
they
a female.
Were, yes.
In a place where females were absolutely
and
not
you
allowed.
Disrespected them. Absolutely.
Right. And not only were females not allowed, but I just walked through their special altar and their pillars and said, I'm a Freemason now. I mean, I pissed them off.
Yeah. No respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, if anybody's out there listening in the chat room, I'm looking at the top of the chat room. It says playing now, saying keeping the spirits alive from 8/13/12, old show. We're broadcasting live. We're connected to the server here, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen.
Because are you guys seeing the playing now? Because it doesn't say paranormal straight talk. It says keeping the spirits alive up top. So just making sure that maybe I just didn't refresh or something. Anyway, wait for Karen to answer back. And okay, so what's another?
She probably walked away.
Yeah, she probably did. Another danger of ghost hunting. Doing anything at all that would be summoning spirits. Thanks, Karen. So we know it's just the glitch up at the top. All right. Doing anything that where you're summoning spirits in, which, again, goes to EVPs. I remember there's a great article on the American EVP Association's webpage about the dangers of EVPs, and I guess they kind of took it to an extreme when they did White Noise, the two movies,
right.
Which again was really to an extreme and not a little crazy. But it was some people are just asking questions that are provocative or questions they don't want to know the answer to or that borderline summoning stuff to them. Calling all spirits in the room to come here, or, you know, do you really want all spirits to come here? Because I don't. I prefer just maybe the nice ones or the human ones, and maybe we can keep the non-human ones away.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, just my preference, just personal preference. When we do all this stuff, do we realize that we're talking to a room full of invisible beings, potentially some of which may want to do us harm, whether they're just, you know, mean-spirited, evil human spirits,
mm-hmm.
or downright non-human evil yeah. spirits. We can't tell all the time. And even people who are gifted and have the most sensitivity in the world, who have discernment, anything at all, can't 100% of the time accurately tell you every spirit's in the neighborhood or in the room with you.
No.
It's impossible.
And the spirits are not going to say, yes, I'm an evil spirit,
right.
or I'm a demon or anything. They're not going to walk up and hand you a card. They're going to say, oh, come play.
Would any spirits in the room like to talk to us now? Ah, yes, I'm a demon from the third level of hell. I wasn't sure if you were talking to me, but yes, I wouldn't mind talking to you right now. I just thought it would be polite if I asked first. But as long as you're inviting everybody, my cousin from the seventh level of hell would like to come up too, and we both like to talk to you. I'm just checking with you first. You know, I mean,
I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But hey, we can't hear their conversations. They might be like, hey, Lou, they're calling you.
Yeah.
They said
anybody.
They said, come on, get up here. Lou is short for Lucifer, just in case you haven't called. Come on, Lou. Lou, they're calling you. They said, anybody want to come up here and talk to us? They said, they're saying throw a stone at them. Grab one of those flaming bricks you have next to the throne.
How big of the stone can we pick up now? Well, yeah, not only do you have to be careful of that, but we've been in a couple places where the client has decided they needed to help bring the spirits in for us.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we have.
Yes, we have.
Where we only realized that because one person left the recorder running. Too.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
We actually took a break, and one of the investigators left their digital recorder running on a table and just forgot about it and came back in. And when they were reviewing it, it turned out that the person that was there, one of the clients, actually said, well, things really aren't happening. We're going to have to, like, kick it up a notch or stir things up a little more.
Right.
And this wasn't the case that we considered flagged already, and that he was a suspect in causing some of the activity to begin with because it was his sister's place.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really want that to happen.
I had to take investigators out of a case because they got sick. And the client called me the next day and said, was it because what we were doing? What were you doing? Oh, well, we had the Ouija board out, and we were trying to pull in the spirits so they could talk to you, and, you know. Was it because of you? It's a good possibility. Well, when can you come back out? Never.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but I could see other groups going, oh, sure, yeah, we'll be right back out.
Yeah.
Oh, you're starting off for us?
Sure.
Great. Can you bring in more? How about you bring a Ouija board and do some bloodletting ceremonies,
but
too?
Well, we took an investigator out. You know, she was sick to the stomach. And, you know, was it the flu? Who knows? But I wouldn't put anybody back in that situation.
Yeah. It's not fair to anybody. But some people kind of will look for that almost. That's like it's a criteria for, well, we know it's going to be more active then. You know, come on, let's do that. They stir the pot intentionally. Mm-hmm. And we're dealing again with the idiot and stupid factor. No one wants to be, Mika?
Yeah.
Don't be a Mika. That should be a shirt.
Yes.
If you saw Paranormal Activity, you know what we're talking about. You know, let's get the Ouija board out and use it and say we're not using it, but use it anyway. And, you know, just common sense kind of stuff. Really. You don't want anybody to deal with now that you're a client. You become a client.
Right.
And trust me, it was embarrassing the first time when I was taken up. This wasn't my fault necessarily. This was someone that said stuff to me and I was attacked and I had to go up for, I could say it's partly my fault too. I was not blameless because I could have been protecting myself better. But taken up for my first exorcism, you know, and to be taken up to someone, I don't know if I want to throw his name out there, but a well-known demonologist that's helped you and been like your mentor and tutor along the way.
He's told you to protect yourself.
Right, and go up to ask for help and tell him you got into a problem. It's like going home, I guess, for like a teenage girl and telling your dad you got pregnant or your parents are pregnant. Oops.
Yeah.
Oops. You know, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is almost like that.
but then he told me that I wasn't, they averaged about 12 people, paranormal investigators a year. Which I thought, okay, at least I'm one of 12. You know, I'm not like, whoa, there's a little club of us. Yeah, but then when the second time happens, you know, you realize, the second time was totally my fault.
Right.
Then I'm like, you know, I'm like, yeah, my head's down. I'm like, hi, how you doing? Oops, I did it again. Yeah, exactly. And this is with experience. So imagine without the experience and learning what to do and what not to do. All of us have been there. We all are at a certain place during our careers in this.
I've been doing this for a long time. I teach psychic protection. Right.
But we've all been in a space during our career, especially, and it doesn't happen initially. It happens when you've been in it longer, like me and you, where we get to the point where we feel like, well, I know everything. I know.
Or I can take care of
this. Yeah, I can
handle
this. I got it covered. Don't worry. No worries. I took care of it. Also, when you start saying stuff like that, like, I handled it. That should be the clue to you that you're full of crap.
You didn't
right. Right, exactly. Because no one can be sure if you've handled anything. So you can't be saying that. If you're that confidence, that's your ego and your bravado, and you just made yourself a target, you might as well go get a can of spray paint and just paint a bullseye right on you, because you are asking now to be taken down because of that. You're saying, come and get me. Nah, 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 you can't get me. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
No, I would have put it more in key, though. Yeah.
I didn't do the that part.
You didn't? No. Just come and get me?
Yeah,
you might have done a little dance.
I didn't really say me. I just, you know, put it out there.
But you didn't.
General.
Right, you didn't classify who.
I didn't right. Send it to a specific person or anything. I just, you know, was leave you alone.
If I can get, biblical on you for a second.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I just think of one quote just popped in my head, and that's why when that happens, I have to say it. But in one instance where Jesus was casting out demons, he actually put them in the swine instead. Mm-hmm. He didn't just cast them out and let them go, because it was a whole legion of them. He cast them out and put them in the bodies of the swine. The swine went nuts and wound up running off the edge of a cliff and killing themselves, thus ending the demons too, or sending them back.
So are we going to start selling pigs?
We are. The Ghost Hunter store now announces its new sale on swine. Holy water, some holy anointing oil, and some swine. All in one kit. How you get the swine, we can't obviously deliver. That's going to be in-store pickup only.
Yes.
But if you're going to be, when you're, you know, he was even specific in casting it out, not just throwing it out anywhere, making sure it went somewhere. So it's like when you're vague, going back to like the EVP questions, going back and being vague about your questioning or vague about what you wanted to do. I was watching one of the TV shows right after I got home from my heart surgery and stuff. And Michelle, like, grabbed the remote and turned it off. What were you pointing at?
The time.
Oh. Okay. We'll talk about that next week. Because there's another show coming on now right behind us, and we have to log off. We were used to having not, another show not behind us.
Part two. Mandy will be here, right?
Absolutely.
We'll pick it up next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Have a good night.